Hi, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman bringing you another Espresso Tech Sip. And I'm pulling from my slide deck one slide at a time and kind of deep diving into various topics. And this one is probably going to be my most controversial to date. Because especially if I have any former students that have ever been in any of my classes, you certainly know that I put an emphasis on story pointing, pointing your stories, using the Fibonacci sequence, using some form of planning poker to point your stories. And let me say this caveat right up front. I still fully endorse it. I feel that that's the best way to do it, the best outcome. It's a little clunky on the front end. I always tell teams, give yourself about three sprints to work out the kinks. But if you've got the right size team, no more than nine people, the right people doing the pointing, and that's the people that do the work. And you make sure that you're using kind of a blended rate. You're taking into account all the level of effort it's going to take to complete the story. It's absolutely, I've seen across the board, it absolutely works. It does. But, and this is the but, the big but that I'm going to talk about in this particular episode. I've throughout 20 years of doing Agile, there's always going to be someone that's asked the question, do we have to do story pointing? Well, there's a lot of things that I think that are that you can finesse in the Agile and especially the Scrum framework. And there's all different types of hybrids. When you take into account Kanban, Scrum, Scrumban, all of those different kind of hybrids. And so it's been a long-standing question. And of course, it's very easy for me to just sidestep it and say, you know what? I can tell you what's tried and true. I can tell you what I've done, what I've seen. Again, not just in one company, but many, many companies, whether I've done their training or I've done their coaching, you know, I can tell you that pointing, it does work. And I'll do a whole deep dive on why people struggle with pointing. But again, I'm going to go back to the thing that I'm going to say in this particular episode is, what if you just want to go out there on a ledge and explore not pointing stories? Well, I'm gonna summarize for you because every time something pops up on my radar and it's an article or it's a blog post about not pointing, when I really dig down into the article, they still are offering some form of pointing. It's just a much more kind of broader version of pointing. So to some extent, I'm giving away the secret. I challenge you to really find and really dig into an article that says don't story point without them in some way, giving you some way to put some type of framing around the work that you're going to accomplish, whether that's with or without the sprint being the defined container, or 2 weeks being the defined container. It could be another flavor of Agile where the sprints are 4 weeks or 6 weeks. Whatever that is, you're still going to find yourself or looking for a way to determine what do we think we can complete within this framing, this time frame. So that said, what I did was I pulled out some of the ones that I see that have floated to the top that I've actually seen in action in some form or fashion. And again, I'm going to offer these to you as ways of not doing the traditional, maybe Fibonacci pointing, where you have this large range, but maybe distilling it down and doing a more simplistic approach. But at some point, still being able to answer one of the key questions that we're trying to answer when we do this pointing. We're trying to figure out and predict how much work can we get done with the current team based on their availability in a particular time frame. And with that, trying to use that to even predict further ahead so that we can create realistic roadmaps, set realistic goals, and even set projected end dates. And by and large, to be honest, it's not the issue of whether you point or do story pointing. The issue a lot of people have is that they just don't want to be pinpointed to a deadline. So to back it up a little bit, a lot of times when people are asking me, do we have to story point? The flip side of that question, or an extension of that question, is should we have deadlines or due dates in Agile? And so what I will say is Agile itself isn't the reason why you have due dates. You have due dates because a business, anybody that's trying to run a business, they need to have some way of estimating what we're getting done, how much time, effort, and even expense we're going to put in getting it done, and then to determine if that effort is worth us spending that amount of money based on what we think the predicted outcome is going to be. The bottom line is ROI. And understand that it's not always just challenging and wanting to hold you to something, wanting to pin you down. The other part is it's actually so that they can make business decisions as to maybe they don't want to spend this much on this or put in this much level of effort because they already know that the payoff isn't going to justify the level of effort. So there's always kind of this back and forth. And so when we do that over and over for many, many projects where we don't want to pinpoint when it's going to get done, or we just allow ourselves to blow past that due date, we then find ourselves time and time again, that cumulative effect is that you've got a company that's not meeting their ROI, and then they're making drastic financial decisions, drastic financial cuts. So it is in order for your company to be viable. It only makes sense, business sense. So you'll even see in some of the language, when you look at the Agile principle, that we've got to make financial or fiscal decisions. We need to make data-driven decisions. We need our metrics. We need to be able to measure our progress, predict our progress, and to predict the value or measure the value. That is important to Agile. So there's no other way to do that without in some form or fashion saying, this is what it's going to take, and here's, based on the foreseeable future, when we think that we can deliver this and that we can start getting some of that return, get it in front of customers, getting that value out of them. Remember, I often say Agile isn't just about going fast. It's about delivering high value sooner. And there's a difference. Now, take all that and let me get to the meat of this. So if we don't want to use Fibonacci and that form of pointing, what are some other ways to still answer that very important question, what is it going to take, but do it in more simplistic terms? Okay, so I'm going to throw six. I've got six different ways. And if you have more questions after I go through the six ways, feel free to reach out to me. because this is just a small sip, but I want to give you a snippet. One is, I've seen the approach and I've seen teams use where they cut all the work down so that they're the same size. So in essence, instead of having this large range, this Fibonacci range starting from 0, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, instead of having this long range and taking the time to mentally kind of differentiate between those ranges, as you figure out what's a nice middle ground, a slice of work, and make everything that size. Now, in some cases, I see, make everything a medium. Make everything about a 3 to a 5. That's up to you. I've seen some that make it between a 1 and a 3. Nothing bigger than a 3. And so by everything being that average size, when you pull in, you're already knowing that it's going to be, and this is in terms of story points, it's going to be a 3, a relative size of 3. And that's what they do. So therefore, it's predictable. And it's great, even for, especially for Kanban, because everything you pull in. But what it does take is some time and effort for you to do slicing of big chunks of work. That's the same challenge that you have, whether you're using the Fibonacci and the story pointing through Fibonacci, is that learning that skill and that art of slicing work. You might slice it into multiple slices that later have to come back together. And so there is some overhead of this slicing, and there is some time and effort into the slicing. That's what we do when we talk about story and refinement and story slicing. You do that upfront work. And then when you get to planning, or when it's time in Kanban to pull some new work in, you know it's going to be between that 1 and 3 range, or that 3 and 5 range, whatever that standard slice is. Anything bigger, it's got to be cut back. So if you're willing to put in the time and effort to do that slicing, that's one way to approach it. Another, just a variation kind of on that same concept, is that you use small, medium, and large, okay? The very basic of t-shirt sizing, and that small, medium, and large represent a nice range. And so you don't have to overthink or overanalyze down to, oh, is this a 2 or a 3? Is this a 3 or a 5? You just use a range. So a small might be relative size of a 0 to a 2. A medium is a 3 to a 5. And a large might be an 8 to somewhere maybe around a 13. So you at least have 3 sizes. And again, depending on the type of work, again, if you're a Kanban group, you start to know, hey, these are the 3 categories. This is what a small feels like, medium, and large. And so when you're pulling things again into the work, you think in terms of, and this is the next keyword, WIP limits. That's the, you know, again, that hybrid between Scrum and Kanban is using and imposing what we call WIP limits, work in progress, WIP, W-I-P. So you know that, and that could be WIP based on by person. It could be by particular, different specialized areas, different swim lanes. So there might be 2 people that have that special skill. They combine would have a WIP limit of maybe 5, no more than 5 things going on at one time. And of those 5 things, they would still have to fall within, let's say, a cumulative total of 30. And so you mix and match that small and medium, but you wouldn't go over that 30. That's the way you use WIP limits, using small, medium, and large. Okay. The third approach is using numeric values for effort and risk. And it's basically somewhat of a calculation, but just real high level, you look at what the level of effort is, but you also multiply that by a risk factor. So doing the work, may not, the effort itself may be, again, small, medium, or large, but the risk factor takes into account the unknowns, the discovery work that has to be to go on. And you might have a 1, 2, or 3. So that in itself, actually, you know, that you're going to have to practice that. You're going to have to get comfortable with that, the risk factors when you apply 1, 2, or 3, but in, especially depending on your work, it'll help you not just look at the work that has to be done, but the discovery related to each work item. The other one is, again, similar to just using a standard size, but I saw a team that actually did their pointing per work area. They had 4 work areas. They had design, development, test, and deploy. You know, very aligned with the SDLC. Now, this was, for me, an agile waterfall hybrid, because you broke out design, development, test, deploy versus it being a blended rate. What they did, though, they said when each ticket, each design, each development, each test ticket, they, again, sliced them into even similar slices. And so if it was going to take more, you had to pull out something to get to these even sizes. So they had design was 3 story points, dev 3 story points, test 3 story points, and then the deployment, the whole integration and finally getting it ready for deploy was a 1. So 3, 3, 3, and 1. So everyone had approximately a range around a point of 3 to get their piece of, let's say, for example, the design done. Because they were taking a small slice of design, you hand that off to development. They felt like the dev was able to complete it, again, in that 3 range. Testing then could be completed in that 3 range. So you kind of had a wave that you start the next. Design would start the next thing. They'd have 3 days to work on it. Then they'd be ready to hand off to dev. This has to be very predictable types of work that lend themselves to kind of that split. And that, you know, they can fall in this 3, 3, 3 range. I felt like it on paper, it sounded good. I don't see that in most of the environments that I've worked with it working that well. You're going to get out of sync and then you're back probably in worse shape, because either one team is going to be accumulating a lot of stuff and become that bottleneck. You have someone out, the designer out. What are the other 3 doing while they're waiting for this kind of pipeline of work? This goes to trying to treat software development almost like a factory assembly line. Very rarely is it actually encouraged, let alone successful. The other one, let me talk about another one. This is very similar, but people using days and up to this point, everything I've referred to is more of using story points. And what they did is every slice of work was between 1 to 3 days, no more. It's still the same concept, making everything the similar size. So what you're doing is upfront slicing and cutting it down. You're taking some big idea, some big concept, some big feature, and splitting it. And this is the funny thing. People who struggle a lot with the whole story pointing, it's because they often see things and don't feel like it can be sliced or split. All of these concepts of not pointing is relying on the fact that you are able to take some big items and slice them down. And that takes me to the last one, which is every work item fits within a 1-point range. It's called 1 story, 1 point. And so the team determines what that 1 point represents. But basically, every member on the team identifies their whip limit based on this 1 point system, which means that maybe a senior person can take on 3 points at a time. Someone that's medium experience takes on 2 points, and a junior person takes 1 point. But those are your built-in whip limits. But you take every story, and again, you frame them. You pull back the acceptance criteria so that it fits into this definition of the 1 point. And the most important thing, especially when you're using more of a Scrumban or Kanban flow, is that you don't take on or start more things or have a bunch of stories in flight. You stick to your whip limit. And so at most you might be, if you're a senior person, working 3 stories, because you're not going to go over that 3 point system. But every story is 1 point. So each one of these are different ways of approaching and ways that people have proposed as simplifying pointing. But I'll leave you with this. At the end of the day, it's breaking down. There's still a common denominator that when you have something that is so big that there is going to be hidden complexity, and which you're not giving yourself the opportunity of taking it and breaking it down, is to reveal some of that hidden complexity to keep yourself from getting in the middle of the work and getting so far along that you just have, it becomes this never ending story. And so no one on the team knows when you're going to be available to work on the next thing or when you're going to be ready to turn it over. It just becomes a black hole. And so slicing and dicing and breaking apart stories at the end of the day is a necessary talent, a necessary muscle that you need to build. And if your team today isn't comfortable with the idea of slicing, this is where training along the lines of business analysis, or even having a business analyst that works with the teams to help them with story slicing. It's something that's embedded in that BA skill set, that teams eventually, as you get into your maturity of agile, you're going to find that's one of the missing ingredients, that no ceremony or no template can teach you. It's just that add-on soft skill that's so important around understanding how to slice and dice big pieces of work. So I hope you found that helpful. It was a mouthful, but there's a lot to unpack from there. And I look forward to, if you have any questions or comments or want me to dive deeper, not only can you reach out and direct message me on LinkedIn, that's the best way to connect with me. It's Jacqueline 007. Please reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.